American Idol 2, and Joe Millionaire. We can't do those shows on ABC, Lynn countered. We couldn't even do Are You Hot? Yeah, but we need a killer, he continued. What about Mark Shapiro? Lynn wondered. The mention of Shapiro prompted an outburst. Shapiro? He's dead. We're writing him off. He's 34 and he thinks he should run the place. He has all kinds of demands. I won't take his calls. We won't answer his emails. When I was offered ABC in 1974, I didn't even ask what I'd be paid. When do you want me? Bob did the same thing. He was on a plane in an hour when Tom Murphy offered him the job. There was no contract, no deal. This rankled with Lynn, since she herself had no contract. When Lynn met with Iger at 5, he was furious to discover that Eisner had inserted himself ahead of him, before he could talk to Lynn. Now Eisner was meeting with McPherson. Maybe he's offering him my job, Lynn speculated. That's not going to happen, Iger said. There's no interest in Steve at the network. He assured her that she'd run prime time. Iger confirmed that it was over with Shapiro. Lynn went back to work, confident her position was secure. The following Wednesday, she had dinner with Ann Sweeney and briefed her on the pilot process and what needed to be done, on the assumption that Sweeney would be replacing Wallau as president of the network and Lynn would be in charge of programming. It was a busy week, and Lynn returned to New York on Thursday night. On Monday, she was back in California and met again with Iger. He looked somber as he moved to a chair, and she sat down on the sofa. The chairman and chief executive of McDonald's, James Cantalupo, had just died of a heart attack at age 60 while at a convention in Orlando. I had lunch with him 2 months ago, Iger said. It puts things in perspective, doesn't it? Lynn nodded in agreement. Well, this is hard for me because I like and respect you so much, Iger continued. I know I told you you'd run primetime. We decided to go another way. It was clear you wouldn't report to anyone other than Ann. Steve said the same thing. So we had to make a choice. The consensus was that Steve should do it. Lynn was speechless. She realized she was being fired. We want you to stay with the company, Iger assured her. You can keep your salary, move back to New York, whatever works. We'll figure out a job. Bob, you're taking away my job. I'm not going to say anything definite, but that's not going to work. Lynn got up and walked to the elevator. She was late for a pilot screening. Suddenly she turned around and went back. What do I say to my executives? She asked. Nothing, Iger replied. He added that he, Sweeney, and McPherson would announce their new responsibilities to her staff the next day. When she reached her car, Lynn realized she couldn't attend the screening and pretend nothing had happened. Instead, she called her husband and her lawyer. The next morning, her phone rang at 7:30 a.m. It was Eisner. He told her how sorry he was. I was blindsided, Michael. Bob told me a week ago I had his support, she said. Eisner launched into a tirade about Iger. ABC has destroyed Bob. Unless he fixes it, he will never be CEO. He can't even get another job in this town. Bob is under terrible pressure. He had to do something.